Good afternoon, and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Bob, who's here to speak with us about the recently updated Living Compassion website. Welcome, Bob.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being with us today. So for folks who may not yet know, recently, Bob, you, Ashwini, and a number of other folks completed the Living Compassion website redesign, and it's now live and available for folks to visit, yeah?
Yeah, that's right. A week or two ago we launched it, and it's very exciting. It's it's actually, Ashwini spoke about this on the video workshop we did, where this is actually the kind of culmination of her efforts, especially to kind of look at each part of our world and all those websites and redo them one by one. And this was the final, piece and obviously probably the most important piece.
The final and most important piece in what sounds like an incredible labor of love.
Yeah. Because it's something that has been talked about for a long time now and has now kind of come to fruition. But the idea was that we wanted people, new people to the practice and people who have been around for a number of years to come to the website and have an experience of practice and not try and, have us like feeding people information. And so really to connect it to, what our practice is all about, which is having that direct experience rather than just talking about it.
That is so wonderful. So, yeah, so to create the kind of website where a person can come and visit that website, and in a sense, it's almost like the way that, as you were talking about that, I get the sense that, when a person comes to visit the monastery in person, the physical location, everything about that place is a representation of practice. And it sounds like bringing that same attitude of heart and mind to the website redesign, that everything about the website is also an experience of practice, and it's not just information kind of place where people could just get information. It's a place where a person could go and actually kind of have a little bit of a feel, an experience of the practice.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing just sitting here before the call because it really comes from that place of what's best for all. And so, like as you were pointing out, if I'm at the monastery chopping onions, there's a way to do that. And it's not just for my benefit, it's for everyone's benefit, right?
In
the same way with the website, as it was worked on over time, obviously as we're working on it, as like we would be chopping onions at the monastery, the how of working on it was, as important as the experience we want to provide to people. Because if I'm not kind of available to have that experience as I'm doing it, it's going to be really rough for me or anyone else to provide that in the final product, I guess.
Oh, my goodness. It's just such a powerful place that you describe, the process of redesigning that website is, it sounds like, a practice experience. And that in making this new website available to folks, that you're practicing going to that place or having that experience of presence and kind of being that experience as you're participating in the redesign.
Yeah, exactly. And the it's even just down to the piece of like, when can we have this thing ready, right? And so you're in the kitchen chopping onions and what you're supposed to be doing is chopping onions. Now we all know we're trying to get the onions ready for some recipe, but we need to chop the onions. And in the same way with the site, the design of the site was done, over 6 months ago. And since it was done, there's just been all this work done to bring it to the current state it's in. And so, I remember the first tab on the site is called practice. I think I'd really encourage everyone to kind of go there first and kind of step through the 10 steps to kind of like go through kind of like the primary aspects of the practice. And they were just like revised and whittled down to their current state. And and if we were just trying to get it done, they would have been, well, whatever state they sort of arrived in, that would have been fine. But people were paying attention on the way. It's like, is this actually the experience we want to provide for people? And so we just kept working on it. And when it was ready, it was ready. It wasn't like, this has to be done this date.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good. And the analogy to chopping onions in the monastery kitchen is so perfect, too. That, like you said earlier, that there's a way that we chop onions in the kitchen, and it's the way that's best for all. And and approaching the website redesign with that same attitude of mind, there's a way to do this that's best for all. And then also, just like with chopping onions, you know, it's, I mean, yeah, we're making a recipe or whatever, and the onions will need to be chopped, but it's not about, like with anything that we do in working meditation or working in a kitchen at the monastery, it's not about getting stuff done. It's about practicing being in the mind of meditation, practicing embodying the practice in everything that we do. And so with the example of working on the practice tab with those 10 steps that, you know, it could be easy to go to this place, the condition place of, well, let's just get it done, you know, or, you know, this is the state that they're in, you know, it's good. But to really get to that place of, no, actually, you know, we're looking to life for the information. It's not about just getting it done. And, what a beautiful way of modeling practice in that redesign process.
Yeah, yeah. And just being in the process of working on it, it was just such a gift. You know, it's like you kind of start with one thing and you have this idea of how it should go or how it should turn out. And then you get to just practice showing up and attending to it, and then what happens. You know, it's because conditioning would want to, you know, say, well, here's the end point. We got to get there. And actually, you don't know what the end point is, or I don't know what the end point is at the beginning. And so to be open to just being there and, you know, attending to it as fully as possible, and then running into some sort of, you know, note from life saying, huh, that's actually not going to work out that way. And then rather than trying to like force something through, you know, the encouragement is always to like kind of sit with that, see where it is, and then do the thing that especially my conditioning would want me to do, which is to communicate and say, huh, this is where I am and this is what I see. And then, you know, be willing to you know, be available to all the assistance and wisdom that's out there that's available.
It's so great. You know, as I hear you describe the process of participating in this redesign, the word that keeps coming up for me is fun. It just sounds like a really fun, enjoyable time. And it's such a different experience than what conditioning offers, right? You know, in conditioning land, boy, it could take something like a website redesign and turn it into a misery. It's got to go this way. There's this timeline and stress and all this stuff. But instead, what you're describing is this place of like, you know, I don't know how it's going to go. You know, I'm looking to life for information and guidance. A lot of times it doesn't go the way I think it's going to go, but then something else drops in. And it sounds like just a sense of exploration along the way and a willingness to communicate and kind of be open to what life drops in. Like, I'm just projecting a truly delightful process.
Yeah, it's delightful, and it's very similar to say, working meditation at the monastery, where, you know, here is this period of time I'm working on this thing, and this is what I'm doing. And allowing whatever happens during that time, rather than some kind of conversation with conditioning, but instead to be fully present to whatever is at hand, and then see where it leads, and that is a lot of fun.
It's so fun, and it seems like that's where the real magic is available, just being fully present to whatever's at hand and then just seeing where it leads. Just, incredible. And two, I mean, just I haven't had a chance to explore the whole website. There's so much in it, and I'm so excited to just dive in deeper. It seems like the more I dive in, the more there is to explore. Like, oh, my gosh. So kind of what it's taken me to is that, you know, it's not what, it's how, but when we attend to the how and we stay in that process of exploration, openness to life, just being present, letting life kind of drop in the next step, what is available then, you know, on the content level winds up being just amazing. I mean, it's just, it's so beautiful. So practice so beautifully, succinctly articulated, particularly in those 10 pages under the practice tab, just amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, it is amazing. And I would just, you know, kind of, I know our time's just about up here. I just kind of encourage people just to, you know, check out the various parts of the site. There's a lot of stuff kind of buried in there. And we've done some things like we used to have a separate website for our monthly newsletter, and that's now in the Stay in Touch menu on the main site. And so there's a lot of really good stuff there.
So much good stuff. Yeah, encouragement for folks that haven't checked it out yet to go in there and explore a little bit and dig around, because there's a lot of stuff, kind of a lot of buried treasures in there. For example, I was looking at the page about the Visiting Monk experience, and even in there, there's like an interview with someone talking about the experience. It's just, wow, there's so many little gems hidden in there. It's just, it's great. And I'm also taken to that place of kind of like with Sherry's books, there's this tendency to want to like just gobble it all up, you know, and read the whole thing. But, you know, refraining from that and just kind of being in this place of like just leisurely exploring. There's so much to see. It's so fun.
Yeah. Yeah, it is fun.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Bob, for being with us and talking about the experience of participating in that redesign. It's just amazing.
All right. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Good night.
Good night.
All right, Michael. We'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Great. Thank you, Lakota, and thank you, Bob. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. How are you doing?
Good. I confess I had a little peek while they were talking, but I'm back on track now.
The first time I saw it, I kind of couldn't believe it. I was truly stunned. And what Bob and Lakota are talking about, that is the truth. I mean, there is so much there. And I can't remember if I talked about this here or where or somewhere, but I thought, you know, if a person came home from work, say, and they've had a stressful day, truly they could open up that website and just pick a spot and start exploring it. And I guarantee if they stay with it for 10 minutes, the stress of the day would be gone and they would be lit up. It's just, those two, and I know there are other people besides Ashwini and Bob involved in this, but they are their main architects. I think they've just done a truly masterful job for us.
Yes, it's fabulous. Fabulous. It's great to explore and see what's there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, find out things about practice that probably none of us know, right? Because it's in... You know, it's in this other little thing, or especially the one I go back to, and I know it's a favorite for you, is the History of the Africa Project. You know, there it all is in pictures and stories, and you can see the thing all the way through. There are just so many, the recording and listening, all the recording and listening information. And it is a treasure trove.
Yes. It is a treasure trove. I remember I used to be able to...
Treasure Grove. Yeah, go ahead.
I remember I used to be able to kind of know the whole website, and now, as you just said, there's so much there and so much wonderful material, and it's great to explore.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anything else you'd like to share with us before I go to the announcements?
No, but I do have an announcement when you go to the announcements. I heard that there's one that didn't get on there, so I'll tell you what that is. And it is that the first of the monastery retreats has opened for registration. It's spring at the monastery or springtime at the monastery or something like that. And it's the first of the seasonal series, so it's available.
Great. Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Thank you for that. And
pardon me?
The next retreat, I said thank you for that.
Oh, yeah, you're welcome. And it might not, you might not be able to sign up just right this minute, but I know it's on its way, so people can look for it in the next, you know, after the show, probably.
Great, great.
Mm-hmm.
And the Your Practice Retreat, April 9 through 15th, is a chance to step away from the pressures of day-to-day living and immerse yourself in a monastic community completely focused on waking up. The retreat features individualized support with what you choose as your practice focus for your stay. And the retreat is a prerequisite for first-time visiting monks.
Yeah, and what you just said, Michael, is so key because people could say, well, how is that different from the seasons at the monastery? And the difference is that for the seasons at the monastery, we come and we practice all together. And we're all looking at the same thing. With your practice, each individual gets to come with whatever the big issue is in their practice right then, and have support for working with that. So on the surface it can seem a lot alike, but with what the person is experiencing, it's very different.
I see. Yep. So the your practice has an individualized focus, and Seasons 1 has a focus that everyone's looking at together.
Yes. Yeah.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
The There Is Nothing Wrong With You retreat, April 26th through May 3rd at the Zen Monastery Peace Center near Murphy's, California, offers an opportunity to do the courageous work of ending self-hate. This foundational retreat is perfect for awareness practice beginners as well as experienced practitioners.
Mm-hmm.
And for these and other practice opportunities, visit schedule.livingcompassion.org.
On that fabulous website that we were just discussing.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And if you'd like to talk with Sherry today, you can indicate your desire and make a show by pressing *6 and then 1. And a 5-minute conversation on one topic is really helpful.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're ready here, Sherry.
All right. Good. Let's go. Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. It's Anna.
Well, hello, Anna.
Hello,
how are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm really happy to be on.
Sounds like you might be getting a little exercise at the same time.
I was going for a run, and I thought, I won't get on. I'll just listen and run And then I just got on, so I thought, you know, I'm prepared. It was interesting because I was, you know, able to call in today, and I was like, I'm getting in the queue. And what was so interesting is what you're just talking about, the difference between a retreat and the your practice retreat, you know, like the seasons. Because it feels like, you know, I've had the opportunity to be practicing and having support for practice and having conversation with you even, and it's different to call into the radio show.
Can you say a little about that?
Yeah, because it's like the whole Sangha, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's really different, isn't it? Being in group or being in individual guidance, right? They're very different.
They're very different. Both are amazing, and they're really different. And I was kind of considering just right now what the difference is. And one of it feels like is, I'm contributing to practice, you know, through my own practice all of the time, and by showing up and attending and sharing in a group, I'm participating in a way that, I'm contributing to that archive.
Critical.
You know. Yeah, it's like it feels really, and to take that in, that's what I'm doing, and I'm part of the Sangha, and my participation matters, and it feels like participating in the radio show is really one of those ways because of the archive and how much I've benefited from the archive, and we always hear people talking about the archive, but there would be no archive if nobody called in.
Exactly so. And Michael and I could have fascinating conversations, but really, they would probably only be interesting to us.
Yeah.
But getting to hear everybody, and as you say, you know, whether it's a group at a retreat or a workshop, or whether it's the radio show, everybody's participation makes such a difference, because you can go back, I'm sure, to when you were really new in practice and not too sure what we were talking about, and, you know, just trying to find your way through the whole thing. And you could hear other people who were really new to practice, and people who've been there for a while, and people who've been there for a really long time. And you could have the chance to benefit from all of those levels of practice.
Right? Yeah.
And that's always the case. There are always new people. There are always old-timers. There are always people. It's somewhere, you know, we're always out somewhere in the middle of whatever, because we're always working on something. There's always something that's new for us in our own practice, and we can speak from that, the place that we are, and that's what helps us all gain understanding as a Sangha.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really important.
Yeah, and, you know, it always has been kind of a chat, you know, there's been so much resistance to taking that in, you know, that it matters, you know, that I show up, and it matters that I'm, you know, it matters for me, but it matters.
Yeah.
It's just such a big thing, you know, and yeah, it's just practicing taking that in and practice, you know, showing up for, I don't know. It's just, it just seems like it's just so critical.
And ego doesn't want us to know that, right?
Yeah.
Oh, well, it doesn't matter if you're there. Oh, it doesn't matter if you call in. Well, nobody really cares what you have to say. And so what it turns us into is takers instead of givers. And what we want to be is givers and takers. You know, one of those all one word, right? And it reminds me of that. I don't know where the story came from or even what the whole story is, but I just love it, where the king asked everybody to contribute a jug of milk to the whole, you know, there's a big container, and everybody in the kingdom was supposed to bring a jug of milk so that there would be this vast lake of milk. And everybody thought, oh, well, I'll just bring water because everybody else will bring milk and nobody's going to notice that I just bring water. And guess what? They wound up with a lake of water.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And so we want to be the ones bringing the milk.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, it's just to be, you know, share one more thing about what I'm, you know, practicing with. It's just seeming that just revealing what's going on with me in the context of practice, you know, not keeping any secrets, not leaving any areas of life out of practice.
Yeah.
It's like it's so scary to talk about those things that you're not supposed to talk about. But it's so worth it.
It's so worth it. Because all we're doing is strengthening the heart as we watch the ego be made, in quotes, vulnerable, which means be revealed for what it is and what it's doing. And we just get stronger and ego gets weaker. And that's where we want to go in practice. So, yes, no secrets.
Yeah, and you know, I'm just struck by like what a gift it is to have somewhere to go with that stuff, you know, instead of ego, you know, to practice doing something different, to say, you know, gosh, like here's this really tough thing going on, and I have somewhere to go, and I have a practice, and it's just, oh my gosh, like.
And you have a practice, you have places to go in practice where someone, even if you, I, we, whoever, can't see the difference, the person we're talking to knows the difference between ego and authenticity and doesn't judge us because we inherited an ego just the way every other human being does and can help us move from that to authenticity.
Yeah. Yeah, and I get the Yeah, it's just so inspiring because I want to know too, and so that's what I'm practicing for. Not know in a, you know, but just to practice
yeah.
ferreting that out. I see it modeled.
Yes.
I know what a huge impact it makes in my life to have that to have that place to go and to see all that modeled. And so it's just so I don't know, just humbling and also just so like invigorating in a way, because I want this to continue, and so I got to do my best.
Yes, that's right. And what you're learning in this process is to be and do that for others.
Yeah.
Right. That's what we're all learning in practice. I mean, it's great that we get it for ourselves. It's just fabulous. And the point that you're making is, if from the time of the Buddha and before that, people hadn't said, okay, well, I want to do this work so that I can help others, we would be probably in kind of a world of hurt right now, because nobody would have done it. Nobody would have passed it along, and we'd have to be trying to make this up on our own.
Yeah. So
if it's been valuable to us, then we want to make sure that we do our best to integrate it, to get to the deepest level of understanding that we can, so that we can be there for the next person.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Sherry.
It's humbling and it's inspiring and invigorating.
It's all of those things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Off you run.
Off I run. Thank you.
Thank you, Anna. Got to get out there and run before it gets dark.
Yeah, it's getting easier.
It is, isn't it? Oh, it's so fabulous. Oh, there's hope. There's hope for long days and warm weather.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Anna.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us, Anna. And, Sherry, I just love that message of participation and showing up. I never get tired of it.
Yes. Yes, it's just so critical. And what Anna was saying, you know, it is just universal that those voices say that, you know, well, don't go tonight because you're tired. You don't need to, you know, you don't need to be on that virtual meditation. You know, nobody's going to notice that you're not there. You don't need to go on retreat because, you know, they must have tons of people going on retreat. And that's not where we're going, right? I got to show up so that everybody feels supported, including me.
Yes. Yeah. Brilliant. Mm-hmm. Brilliant. Mm-hmm. And we have another caller here.
Oh, good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Rita.
Hey, Rita.
Hi. No, long time no talk to.
Yes, gosh, it just seems like hours.
I'm surprised. I can't test my luck twice in a day, but here it is. Well, I was just sitting here listening, and I covered a lot already today. But one thing I had a question about when you were saying how we want to do this work so we can help others. How do we do that without, I mean, there's other things I've heard of, not to talk about practice. How do we help others with what we're learning without, you know, proselytizing or pushing it on them, or what's the best way about that?
Which goodness knows we never want to do. But mostly I think that what we do is invite people through what they see in us. Mm. So if they encounter somebody who is open and present and unconditionally accepting, non-judgmental, you know, all of those kinds of things, can just listen and reflect without needing to tell somebody they're wrong or where they're missing the point. If we train ourselves in those ways, then people have a tendency to want to ask us, you know, well, how do you blah, 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 blah. And at that point, we always encourage everybody to turn a person back to practice. Well, you know, you could go on a retreat. I'm going on a retreat in such and such, and you could come on it too. Or there's a radio show. You could listen to the archives. They're free. You know, 13 years of them. No reason to be bored. And get a sense of what these folks are doing and how people practice. And then if you're, you know, if you want, you could call in. So like that. So instead of us telling people about practice, we live practice, and then we point people to practice.
Okay, I get that. Okay, that helps. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing that was dropping in as I was listening, it was this fear that I was thinking about the next 4 years, because that seems to be on people's minds. And I was feeling that in the next 4 years, when you get into your 60s and go into your 70s, there's tremendous changes that start to happen. And that scares me. I mean, I've been able to maintain a certain level of health and stuff so far, and in this last year I've seen things kind of change a little bit as far as my appearance goes. And in the next 4 years, you know, that's going to be a lot of changes. How do people handle it? I don't know how people really handle that. And I'm not
Are you talking about the changes in aging, through mm-hmm. aging?
Yeah, in aging. I mean, there's such a dramatic change that starts happening, and no one really talks about it. I mean, if you look at an older person, you just think they've been old forever. Well, they're not too long ago, they weren't old. And how do people, you know.
I can adjust to that.
I firmly believe we're not supposed to degrade in that way, but we are, and no one has been able to maintain their prime yet. I'm not sure it's conditioning that's telling us we have to go downhill, but I don't see how people sanely handle it.
I'll tell you what. I think that it's not either or, as things usually aren't. Okay. So there. It is true. I mean, old age and death are givens if we live long enough. And probably as we go along, there's going to be some sickness. So the Buddha talked about facing old age, sickness, and death. So that it's a fact of life, and there's no getting around it. Now, of course, what he taught and what people who practice awareness are constantly talking about is, for God's sake, don't wait. You know, wherever we are, we want to start doing what we need to do, paying attention to what we need to pay attention to, so that we are prepared for any eventuality. Because there's no guarantee you're going to live another 4 years. And simply that you could get hit by a truck at any point. That's always my favorite go-to example. And it's true. It's true. Nobody knows. You know, if it were just old age and death that were an issue, then all these young people wouldn't be dying. But young people are dying all the time. Middle-aged people are dying. You know, there is no guarantee about this. So that's why we want to practice, as Rafana is saying, as if your hair is on fire. Right? It's not urgent. You don't want to get crazy and start getting hysterical and running around, but you don't want to dawdle. You want to make peace now so that whatever happens, you can just go out with a smile on your face and thank you on your lips, however you go. Right? So if we, you know, there's always been the opportunity to have a conversation about this is what's wrong, right? Because if we're open to having that conversation, there's always content to plug in. Always. There always has been. You know, when you're a teenager, it was something. When you're in your 20s, it's something. 30s, you're in your 40s. You know, it's not like everything was smooth sailing, and then you hit your 60s, and suddenly, yikes, right? It's always been the same process. So now is the time to face it and address it, make peace with it.
Mm. But don't you think
now
that?
I can say that. I say that, and it sounds like, so go ahead, Rita, do that. And I'm not saying that. That's when we really start practicing in earnest, because we get it that this is my most immediate concern. This is what I want to turn my attention. I don't want to sleep. It's dangerous to sleep. I want to be awake.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying just become more aware and more aware and more conscious.
Yep. Practice, 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 practice. So there's a great expression. It's one of those, okay. So the person who awakens to their authentic nature in the morning doesn't mind dying in the afternoon. As soon as you know what you authentically are, you know that nothing is ever born and nothing ever dies. Until we know that, everything is a scary proposition.
That's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
My last thing is, don't you think that aging could be part of conditioning, that we accept that we have to, you know, get old and decrepit and unexciting?
Yes. It's not either or. I've watched people for years. They turn 40 and they realize their vision isn't as sharp as it once was. They go to the doctor who says, oh, yeah, you need glasses, and then their vision just goes downhill until they die. Okay? But we're a nation of there's something wrong, fix it. Give me a pill, give me a shot, give me a prescription, and fix it. And it doesn't need to go that way, but we have to turn that around for ourselves. Society is not going to do that. So, people who hang out with me would tell you that I, at this ripe old age, have more energy than most people in their 30s. And so does it have to be that way? No. But do I work at it? You darn tootin' I do.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
You are so welcome. Take good care. Talk to you soon, Rita.
Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye,
Michael. Bye, Rita. Thanks for joining us. Sherry, it's time for our coaching ad, and then we'll be back to talk with more callers.
Oh, good. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Having emptied our teacups in 2016, we are now embodying joy in 2017. Joy is our experience of presence. Availing ourselves of all the support we can as we undertake Project Joy is both wise and kind. Zen Awareness Coaching is just such a support. Through weekly calls, email check-ins, and focused practice commitments, we practice with any life content to see how we are caused to suffer so we can drop that and end suffering. Zen Awareness coaches are trained and guided by Sherry Huber. They offer coaching as a way to deepen their own practice and support the monastery through regular donations. To request a Zen Awareness coach, visit livingcompassion.org. Click on Participate to find Zen Awareness coaching. Make 2017 a year of great love and joy.
A year of great love and joy. That's a great...
Can you believe it? I mean, we thought last year was good, Michael.
Best ever right now, huh?
Best ever right now. It's crazy. It's crazy. You know, we were kidding. Rita and I were kidding because, of course, she and I were talking this morning on the year-long retreat, the morning show. And
yes.
So, yeah, it's just, it's true. I mean, there is so much support now for choosing love and joy gosh, if somebody isn't experiencing that, I think it's because they haven't really joined us yet.
Yes, I would agree. And since there are so many ways to join us right now, there's really no excuse if you want to wake up.
There's no excuse! All right. Thank you, Michael.
Yes.
Who's next?
Let's see here. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is Ellie in San Diego.
Oh, hello, Ellie. What's going on in Ellie's world?
Mostly really awesome stuff. Lots of music and everything else that, I don't know, practice, work.
You did say awesome, not awful, right?
Awesome, yes.
Okay, awesome. Okay, good, good. I thought that's what you said, but I just want to make sure I wasn't, you know, getting really excited about awful stuff. Okay, so music and practice.
And work.
And work?
Right. Yeah.
It's a good combo, huh?
That's pretty great. And I'm so grateful for the morning radio show from the end of last year. It really helped me get a step up on managing kind of my reactions and seeing, like, not managing, I don't know, but having more calmness around everything that's going on in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And
Ellie, can you say more about that? More calmness and what?
Well, just, I don't know, it's easier.
It's not that you became, you didn't get calm and tune out. You didn't get calm and go to sleep. You didn't get calm and say, what the heck?
No, it's just like I hear about things and they're upsetting and I don't lose myself in the fear and anger, and I'm able more often to find my center and come back to that and then take action from that place.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And
so you're choosing love and participating instead of just, my favorite image is the curled up on the couch in a fetal position, which I endeavor to encourage people is not the just the most helpful approach.
Yeah. Well, and not lashing out at people and not, what is it, fight, flight, or whatever it is, freeze. Yeah.
But making a conscious choice and knowing that you can turn your attention to how you want to be and what you would like to offer the world.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And also shifting, what?
It's big. It's so big, isn't it?
Yeah. It's just opening up new worlds of possibility, and it fills me with such a sense of wanting to contribute. I guess that whole gratitude wants to give thing that you've been talking about so long and I've never really quite gotten.
It's good, isn't it? It's good to feel it, isn't it? Not to have it as an idea or, yeah, I probably should, but really to get to that place of, I have so much gratitude. I want to spread the wealth, share the wealth.
Well, and it doesn't even feel like gratitude. It just feels like this overwhelming sense of wanting to give. I don't even consciously think of it as gratitude.
Mm-hmm. But when you do think of it, that is what it feels like, isn't it? It's just such a big thank you to life that you just want to give. Yeah.
Yeah. And this morning I woke up, and today I've often on, but especially in the morning, I had a lot of what was getting labeled as rage or anger and anxiety, like to the point of pretty, like it was just a really strong spike of energy. And I was listening to the archives, because that's what I do when things are a little scary. And I heard you talking about that it's just energy. And somehow I was able to shift it a little bit. And I don't really know, but it went from really, really scary to just energy. And like, I ran around a little bit, and I just kind of was, like, okay with it. And there's part of, there's some conditioning conversation going on that, like, that wasn't the right thing to do.
Well, you know what I love best about that story? Mm. And it's what makes me a religious person. Okay, so you wake up, and you're in kind of a rugged state, right? And you have a sense that that system would like you to stay there all day and maybe for the rest of your life and be really upset and kind of miserable, right? But mm-hmm. instead, you do what you do to take care of yourself. So you turn on one of the archives, and what are we talking about on that show? But it's just energy. And you can turn that energy into something that takes care of you. So you can actually just run around or dance or jump up and down or scream hallelujah or whatever you want, and that energy comes back to you. And it's no longer upset or scary or angry or anything else. It's just energy. It's your life force. It's for you. And you can actually enjoy it.
Yeah.
I just love those miracles. You know, we could have been talking about anything, right? But we weren't. We were talking about the very thing that you were looking at.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. If I could sing, Ellie, I'd give a few bars of I Believe in Magic. But I'm not going to do that to you, okay?
I think I know that song.
Yeah. That's wonderful. Makes me happy.
Yay. So that's kind of what's going on.
Good. Sounds good. Sounds like good, solid practice, getting more so.
I think so. I'm certainly doing everything I can to make it that way.
Mm-hmm. And it's working.
Yeah,
it's
it
working.
Is.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you. Yeah. I love good
thank
news.
Thank you.
All right. Take care.
Okay. You too. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Ellie. And Sherry, I'm not going to sing for you or Ellie either. So.
I even know you do know the song, don't you?
Yeah. I heard it in my head when you said it. So that's good. And we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, there's quite a lot of something else going on, and we can hear you.
Oh, hey, it's Anne from New York.
Well, hello, Anne. Hey. What's going on?
Nothing really. I just wanted to call from the app. I've never called from the app, so I just thought.
So we're a test call?
Yeah, I don't.
Okay.
I was just checking in and participating. Uh-huh. Hi.
Good. Very good. Anything to let us know about how things are going?
My health is really going well right at this moment. I'm participating in a study, and it's really helping. So I'm really happy. I have a lot more energy.
Oh, very good.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Yeah, I'm really happy.
Energy is good, isn't it?
It is. It's wonderful. It's I guess, actually about that, what just dropped in is I really have a full appreciation for what I used to consider normal energy, and now I kind of have what I think was normal energy, and it feels like
huge energy.
Yeah.
Mhm. It's all relative, isn't it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And as we focus on the energy and not on a story about how much I have or how much I used to have and, oh, no, what if I never have or any of that sort of thing, if we just have the energy we have, enjoy the energy we have, we find it increasing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, that's another one of those kind of magic places, isn't it? Doesn't seem like it would work that way, but it does. Because, of course, what we know is so much of people's energy is siphoned off into that negative conversation in the head. It seems like that negative conversation is somehow taking care of me or helping me or going to get me to whatever it is. But all it's doing is just robbing the energy. So we bring all the attention back to the energy, and there's the energy. And there's nothing to compare it to. Then it's plenty of energy.
That's, yeah. And you know what dropped in, songs that dropped in for me for that was Nothing Compares to You. So I don't know. It's not really
good. That's a good one too, huh?
I won't sing that for you either. But
okay, all right. We'll all agree just to mention our songs and agree not to sing them until we get off the call. And, of course, then we can do whatever we want.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Anne. I'm glad you're feeling better.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us, Anne. And, Sherry, we have another caller here.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Beth.
Hello, Beth. How are you doing?
Well, a little freak to be on.
I see. All right. Well, let's give a minute to calm the heart rate down and get the breath going and all that.
Yeah. So the top layer kind of just let it settle down. But I was hoping. I was really hoping. Because I'm doing something really big.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't want to live an unlived life. And since I got my diagnosis, that's been the huge drive. I know that I'm going to be forgotten. I know that I'm not afraid of death, but I am so terrified of running out of time.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I went to Standing Rock. And I've agreed to do a fundraiser since coming back, and it's turned into a 3-day event.
Oh, my goodness.
That I can't do by myself.
Which I imagine few people could, right? So we can't take that kind of thing personally, right? Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, it's like I'm testing myself physically. Because, you know, if I go too far, I won't be able to talk. I lose my right hand. If I don't push enough, you know, it's not going to happen. And, you know, I'm going to get weak. So, you know, got to find that balance between, you got to push it, but you can't push it too far.
Boy, Beth, I'm telling you, getting a diagnosis like yours is not the way I would wish for anybody to get there. But that, what you're saying right now is true for every one of us in every moment of our lives. Most
tomorrow
people just
promise.
Don't get it.
No.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. And it,
you didn't, right? You didn't until you got the diagnosis.
That's exactly
right?
What it was. Yeah, just remembering, you know, just, I've been young. I've been foolish. And, you know, and I'm still foolish. I am very, very, very foolish because, you know, it's like no matter how far I go, I'm continually doing the same work. and facing the same demons.
Yes.
And
yes.
facing,
yes.
Yeah. And it's amazing how I forget.
It's
again and yet again.
Astounding, isn't it? It's
yeah.
shocking. Shocking. So when we talk about when you're in the dark room, there's only the dark room. And when you're in the light room, there's only the light room. You know exactly what we mean, right? You step into that dark room and
yeah.
it's like, this is my only reality.
Yeah. I've had moments where I've picked up the glass behind me falling and turning around and grabbing it before it falling to the ground. You know,
mm-hmm.
I've had those moments of just getting it. And I tell you, the thing that trips me up more than anything else is interactions with other people.
Yeah. Other people, they are our greatest opportunity.
Yeah. So the, mm-hmm. the privileged environment is a real gift because we're dealing with people and people set themselves up as teachers. And, you know, the monastery told me, you know, I've bowed to that for 15 years and I am not a teacher.
Mm-hmm. We are good students, though, aren't we?
I am still a beginner. I'm still doing the same lessons.
Mm-hmm. I think we all do, Beth, all of our lives. I mean, there are some folks, you know, the Buddha and folks like that who seem to have reached a different level that was more permanent than, say, the levels that we tend to reach and be able to stay on. But we must not forget that he studied, he practiced all of his life. He didn't quit. He didn't say, hey, I'm the Buddha, I'm going to retire.
Even on his deathbed.
Even on his deathbed. He was, as far as, if the rumors are true, he was still practicing.
Yeah. Yeah. Still practicing. Mm-hmm. That's, health is expensive. In everything
mm-hmm.
I've got, it's the pearl of great price. You know, I've
mm-hmm.
given it everything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's like the lessons I learned from my grandparents about, you know, it's not about money. It's not about money. Yeah. But
and here we are.
Yes, I'm here.
Doing the best we can do.
Daily recollection. I'm doing the best that I can.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it's working.
Yes.
And I have days
yes.
when I fail.
Well, we have days when we get snatched again. You know, we have days when, you know, somebody tosses us into the dark room. And that's okay because what that says is, you know, we really can't stop paying attention for a second. Stakes are really high. It really is life and death.
It really is life and death.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which you know better than a lot of folks.
Well, it's, yeah. Yeah, but for me, it really is, I can do it and I can't do it. You know, every day I'm getting closer to having no control over my body. And,
yeah.
and again, and I'm getting it on such a deep level. I got it the other day that the reason why I can't forgive is because I can't give up control.
Hmm.
And
wow. That's a big one.
Yeah. 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 As a six, you know, we're trying to make the whole world safe.
Yeah.
If we give up control, then, you know, everybody is unsafe.
Yes, or maybe for the first time, everybody is safe.
Yeah. Yeah. So my practice continues to be, I am not in control.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. You're not, I'm
except
not,
of
nobody
this
is. Yeah. All we can do is show up. And do the best we can
yeah.
do to be as present as we can be in each and every moment. That is worlds away from being in control. And yet, it's the one thing that can actually feel good. to realize I don't know. It's not up
to me.
I
don't know.
I can my work is just to relax and be here and say thank you for every moment I have.
Letting people give what they want to, what they can give.
Yes.
And
accepting that we're all where we are. I know. Sometimes it's hateful,
yeah.
Isn't it?
And I am real grateful.
Yeah.
And I'm here every Tuesday night.
Very good. That's great. I love it. Even if I don't know you're there, now I know you're there. Now I know you're here. That's good.
Yeah, and you're always talking about what I want to bring up.
Oh, good. Yeah, that's another one of those, huh?
Yeah.
And you tune in and people are talking about just exactly what you need to hear. That's great. Yeah. All right. Well,
so down the road.
Stay connected. Stay close. Let us know.
Every day. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Beth. Good night.
Good night, Sherry.
Thanks for joining us, Beth. And Sherry, we have time for one more caller, and we have one more caller in the queue. So it's perfect.
Oh, good. Perfect.
Yes. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, that's too funny.
Next caller. Next caller, are you there?
Yes, I was muted. I muted
oh,
my double
is.
Mute.
There you are.
There I am. This is Laura.
Hey, Laura.
Oh, what a powerful call. Really, really.
Oh, good.
Yeah, really fun. So I wanted to bring up something that's been kind of sitting with me for a little while. And one of the ways in which the monastery communicates is in their signatures of signing things with gesho, and
uh-huh.
And then people will sometimes do gesho or in gesho, and then sometimes people will capitalize their names or not capitalize their names or use their full name or not their full name. And so it was just something that I found really curious a while ago, and I just thought I would kind of ask about that. And I've also been just kind of sitting with, like, not, and I've been really practicing not trying to figure it out or to think about it, but really just kind of seeing and playing with it for myself.
Uh-huh. And what have you seen?
Well, the name has been really fun for me. So for me, what was coming up around, like, just kind of, like, spelling my name with the lowercase, I found to be really playful and really fun and kind of taking the ego out of the whole conversation. Like, there's no need to be an I. And capitalizing
mm-hmm.
the name kind of feels like it's like creating this sense of importance around
mm-hmm.
the person. And so it's just been really fun to kind of play with this not needing to have an identity with a capital L.
Mm-hmm.
So
well,
that's what I was seeing in that.
So I got all engaged in something several years ago. When I would write T-shirt, and the program would automatically capitalize it. And I thought, now come on. If I write monastery and I capitalize it, it indicates that I shouldn't have capitalized that. But if I write internet, then I should capitalize that. And I thought, well, now, you know, of the things in my life that are important to me, T-shirt and internet are really not high up. TV is not really high up on my list, but monastery is. And I
mm-hmm.
thought, now, wait a minute. Really? Or do we need to Do we need to have it set up so that somebody makes those choices for us? So that we can't capitalize what's important to us and not capitalize what's not important to us? That doesn't seem democratic somehow. And so I just stopped capitalizing those other things, and I always capitalize the monastery. Now, I don't always capitalize monastery. If I wrote a monastery, even if it was our monastery, I wouldn't capitalize. But the monastery, that's a place. You know, so if it's I need to capitalize the Superior Court or City Hall or that sort of thing, then I want to capitalize the monastery. So I can, and I figure, what's the worst that can happen? Somebody's going to think I'm ignorant. Well, so many people have thought that, but, you know, really, what's one more? And it makes me happy. So that's what I do. And with the, the other capitalization, I think, yeah, I'm kind of there. You know, what is it about the name that was given to this human being that is so important? That's not as important to me as the monastery. So I tend not to capitalize my name. And the whole I'm capitalized, I is capitalized, but you aren't. You know, or he isn't, or she isn't, or they aren't. I think, well, now where do we get these things? I mean, how do we come up with this stuff? You know? So I'm kind of with you. I just play with it and look at it and see what happens when this and see what happens when that and notice the conditioned beliefs, notice the God help us all opinions that show up about this and that and something else. And I just think it's all really interesting to play with.
Yeah. And I can remember one of the first experiences on a retreat. I came in as just such a huge, like, skeptic, just waiting for one of you people to do something to give me a reason to, you know, whatever. And I asked
the
question.
Be offended.
And I asked the question, and you said you didn't answer me, and you've basically pointed me to have my own experience of it. And it was so funny because I remember getting so mad that you didn't answer the question, right? So there was a no-win situation. And I love that so many years
you were going to be upset. You were going to be upset. Ego, right? It wasn't ego. Ego was going to be upset no matter what. I'm ready to be upset. Let's set the stage and get ready for me to be upset.
Yes. Yeah. And it's so fun so many years later to just be in a place where to have a question about something and just go, let's see. Well, I have my own experience. And I can still ask the question and the spirit of fun, the spirit of curiosity around all of it, rather than going to conditioned mind to look for, quote, the truth, who's right, what's right.
Yeah. And, of course, with this whole capitalization thing, you know, that has changed so much over time. You know, I sometimes read things from, like, the 1600s or 1500s or something, and it's like the words that they capitalize seem so random. And maybe there was a point to it at the time. I don't know. But to me, it makes no sense at all. And so I think, you know, this hasn't always been like this. This is just the way it is now. What's capitalized and what isn't. And who knows where it'll go in another 100 years. And, well, we certainly won't. But, somebody will. And, in another 100 years, the English language might be what most people do in texts. Your will be YR. And, so.
Good point. That's
where it's
going.
But I think one of the things that, you know, short of being disrespectful or, unless a person is willing to be seen as completely ignorant or out of the loop, well, why not see for yourself? Why not?
Yeah. And even asking this question was really huge because the voices were all about, that's a stupid question to ask and nobody cares and, right, they already know or whatever. And so this is my year of, like, I'm not listening to voices. I'm taking
right.
it on
I wanna
a
know.
Whole nother level.
Yeah, I want to know, yeah. so I'm going to ask. Yeah, exactly. And there it is. Why not? Where's the harm? But the harm that can be done to us by listening to those voices and letting them control us, now that's an area of harm. Mm. Be out there in that, just in that innocent, here I am, just dropped in. I'm really curious. I'd love to know, you know, what somebody else's experience is so that I'm gathering information about what is, you know, what I see is so for me or what I, the step I want to take next. That's a great use of Sangha, as far as I can tell.
Very fun. Well, thank you both.
You are so welcome.
You're welcome.
Talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon.
And good night. Okay. Good night, Laura.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Laura. The year of not listening to voices, Sherry, that is fabulous.
Isn't it? We're getting out of the conversation and into the moment.
Yes.
Into what is yes. so for us.
Yes, and focusing on the energy from an earlier conversation tonight, that's super helpful to me also. It's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Love it.
I think we're going to have to do it again next week.
Okay. I'm in. I'm in. I'll be here with you. Good Lord willing.
Good Lord willing. The creek
Thank you again.
Run.
Yeah. Thank you, Michael. Good night.
Okay. Good night.